Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Today we wrap up our lesson on temptation. This is lesson number 3 of 3, teaching series called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. And today's lesson is titled, Loving Porn Too Much. So in this podcast, you're going to learn, number one, how we've actually been waiting for this temptation because we love the pleasure that our sin brings. Number two, we're going to learn how the temptation is our excuse to participate in the promised pleasure. And number three, we're going to learn how we will either respond to the opportunity that sin has placed before us by either, number one, exiting the spiral, or number two, we will create our own opportunity to sin. See, when we no longer are dealing with temptations, but creating our own opportunities to sin, we've moved into full-blown bondage, full-blown addiction. So we've created a habit with this stuff that we've almost lost our choice. But the good news is that we always have a choice. And then lastly, we're briefly going to cover how the brain chemistry of porn addiction affects us physiologically. Is porn addiction a lust issue, or is it a brain chemistry issue? Or is that a trick question? So let's get started with today's lesson. This is Loving Porn Too Much. Turn to Romans 8, chapter 5. Romans 8, verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. See, it's not the fact that we're going to be sinless through this process. But we can be, you've heard pastors say this before, you can actually sin less through the process, right? Everybody get that? It's not a sinless, it's not perfection, but you can learn to sin less. You start to learn like, okay, I really don't need to be watching the show, listening to the music. I can actually be doing things that are more godly as God continues to renew my mind. Up at the Young Life camp, so I'm 20 years older than these guys, right? And they when you walk into the big lodge thing, they had this music pumping, you know, just pop rock type stuff, and everybody knew this song, like everybody knew it. And Amy and I were kind of looking at each other, and I'm like, look at all these kids who know this song. And it was just amazing. You know, Young Life is all about, they're in the world, they're grabbing these kids, and they're trying to bring them out and to show them the love of Jesus. So they're in the world too. But I am so removed from that stuff, and I used to be there, right? But not knowing all of that stuff just really shows me how true this verse is. Like, oh my gosh, I don't watch the news, I don't do anything like that. It's this reality, like, gentlemen, God will change you. He really will. But once again, it's a willful, conscious choice on our end. It's important to understand as you go through this spiral that if you decide not to confess or flee as you go through it, you've made the willful, conscious decision to disobey God. Not doing anything is now, because you're learning about this stuff. It's, I forget what verse it is, but basically it's one of those things too where you might be better off not even knowing this stuff.
Yeah, you're accountable now.
Right?
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? It's God's not teaching you this stuff for you to go,
No. It comes to the point to where, okay, now you're being disobedient because now you know. Once again, it's a willful, intentional, deliberate action on our part. And it's called rebellion. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're not going to tell me otherwise. Even though I'm asking for help. See the dichotomy there? I'm here, I'm asking for help, and yet I still want to do this. And that's a good kind of tension. I would say that's a good kind of tension because you're learning this stuff. Do you have a question?
Right when you said that, Proverbs 12:1 popped in my head, but I forgot what it spoke about, and I looked it up, and it's right on point.
Read it.
It says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. The Lord approves of those who are good, but he condemns those who plan wickedness. So I was like, that's weird.
That's not weird. That's...
Well, it's just hot. I mean, it's not hot. I know why it popped in.
Yeah.
But there it is.
The way that you know that you're enslaved to the promised pleasure is because you did not confess or flee. So you've refused to exit the cycle when you become aware of the trigger itself. So key point number one in your outline. Key point number one, you've actually been waiting for this temptation because you love the pleasure that your sin brings. Think about that. You've been waiting for the temptation because you love the pleasure that your sin brings. Number two, the temptation is your excuse to participate in the promised pleasure. The temptation is your excuse to participate in the promised pleasure. Key point number three, you will either respond to the opportunity that sin has placed before you. You will either respond to the opportunity that sin has placed before you by exiting the spiral, or you will create your own opportunity to sin. When you are no longer dealing with temptations, but rather creating your own opportunities to do stuff, you're in full-blown addiction and bondage. It's like when you look at that first sheet and you go, man, I don't even recognize anywhere. I'm going so fast through that I'm now creating my own opportunities to sin. And once again, why? Why are we doing that? Key point number four, in order for you to be tempted, you have to give yourself permission to sin. In order for you to be tempted, you have to give yourself permission to sin. So when you give yourself permission to sin, you're actually giving yourself permission, number one, to disobey God, and then also to dishonor others vertically. And the theme with temptation is for you to realize the willful conscious decisions that you're making. Key point number five. It's the pleasure that's addictive. Key point number six. The biggest sex organ we have is not our penis. It's our brain. Let me just mention the physiological nature of what's going on with sexual sin. We trigger what's called testosterone, dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin in our brains. All of those things is what gives us the high, why we do what we do. If it didn't, we wouldn't be addicted to anything. So I've heard many people say that we're not sex addicts, we're drug addicts. because we're not necessarily sticking a needle in our arm, we have the luxury of doing that up and through here. So what happens during ejaculation is that there's stimulation that comes from the spinal cord and it goes to the VTA, the ventral tegmental area in your brain. That is your pleasure center of your brain. What happens is the pleasure center literally overrides the decision-making part of the brain itself. Does that make sense? So the pleasure center takes over and it shuts down what's called the amygdala. And the amygdala is the emotional center, and it's the primary fear center of our brain. So why is that important? If it shuts down the fear center of our brain when we have an orgasm, all of a sudden, we're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, aren't we? We've got nothing to fear. No consequences, exactly. So key point number 7 is an orgasm is associated with the absence of fear. An orgasm is associated with an absence of fear. This is why we take such huge risk when it comes to sexual sin.
You know, Dustin, kind of on the same note that you're talking about, the chemical process, there's a book out called Wired for Intimacy. I'm sure you've probably seen it.
Excellent book. William Struthers.
It's got kind of a front half and a back half. The back half is like, you know, 20,000 feet over my head. I don't understand. But the front half says the same thing, and your brain basically wires itself to bypass the fears and bypass the consequences. So you've got a superhighway between pleasure and sin, pleasure and sin. Mm-hmm. So it's wired that way. Mm-hmm.
And it's what's called plastic. Your brain is plastic, which means that it will literally adjust for the amount of dopamine, testosterone that you're actually going through the brain. It actually adjusts for that. And then when you start to renew your mind with scripture, it actually starts to heal itself as well. And that's the beauty of Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Well, and it's the drugs in your brain. It makes you want more, and it pushes you to more, and you go for more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's get into our groups. This week you're going to be reading some stuff from King Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and 1 Kings. We didn't get to that stuff tonight, but King Solomon, what's he known for?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Or lack thereof.
Smart man in the world.
Was he? Was he the smartest man in the world? Was he the wisest man in the world?
Knowledgeable.
Was he the most knowledgeable?
No.
Maybe in his own head?
Everybody says that, but the guy had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, the guy was always in a wedding. He was always planning a wedding. Right? You guys know what a concubine is, right? It's a sex slave. They were this close to being a prostitute. But because people would bring them in, they had family rights. They were just under a wife status, but they were a sex toy. He had 300 of them. And as you read Ecclesiastes, you'll notice that he says, I had many beautiful concubines. Not just ugly ones. Beautiful ones. Right? So I don't mean to be crass here, but as you look at God's word and look at the life of Solomon through 1 Kings 11 and Ecclesiastes, this guy had more sex than you could ever imagine. And yet, what's he say at the end of Ecclesiastes 12? And you'll read that. Vanity of vanity, right? Here's what I learned. It's all worthless, and you better fear God. You better fear God, because He didn't. He was told very specifically, don't marry any of these wives, because why? Because they're going to introduce you to other gods. It's an amazing outlook on the amount of wisdom that this man had, but he didn't apply it. That's my point.
Isn't it amazing how much Bible we can know and still refuse to actually do what we know we should be doing? King Solomon is a perfect example of this. If King Solomon was the wisest man in all the world, why didn't he obey the one who gave him all the wisdom? And looking at King Solomon's life, especially in this area of purity and marriage, I mean, it shows us the power of sexual sin. King Solomon, he couldn't say no in this area of his life. The pleasure of sex prevented Solomon from following God in this area. And when you look at how things ended for Solomon, it didn't end well, did it? It's similar to his father, King David, right? His life didn't end that well either. Both of those men, godly men, King David was a man after his own heart, and yet he fell in this area. And the reason for that has a lot to do with the power of sexual sin. So how about you? Do you still love your porn too much to give it up? You know, I think this is a phase that many of us go through. We say we want help, but at the end of the day, we just don't want to give it up. We want Jesus and porn. And here's the crazy thing. Jesus loves, he loves us so much, he'll allow us to have our porn. Romans 1 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So in our context, we trade the truth that God loves us for the lie that God wants me happy. And since porn makes me happy, well, I can have God and porn. But that's not reality, is it? That is very much a lie that we're happy to believe in. In fact, God cares much more about your holiness than your happiness. God cares much more about your purity than your pornography. In Ephesians 5:3, the Apostle Paul says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the Apostle Paul writes, God's will is for you is to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. So for those of you who know lots of Bible but have struggled with porn or other forms of sexual sin for years, man, this is not about knowledge. You'll never have more knowledge than King Solomon, right? It's about obedience. For those of you who have just started this purity journey, maybe some of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Well, first and foremost, welcome to the family, my friends. That's awesome. And I want to encourage you to apply what you already know. You know more than enough right now to turn away from sexual sin. In fact, Colossians 2:6 says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. And one of those things that you probably already know is that for us to protect ourselves from pornography, we must protect all of our digital devices. I have personally used Covenant Eyes accountability and filtering software for years. Covenant Eyes allows you to avoid exposing you, your family, your friends from the evils of pornography. So let me encourage you, visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you'll receive a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is put my full name in that promo box with no spaces. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives. Doesn't matter if you're single or divorced or on the way to divorce court. If you have an issue with pornography or sexual sin and you want to listen to God inside a safe community, I want to invite you to Northern Hills Community Church every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. You can rate this show on iTunes, and you can also email me your questions. DustinDanielsRadio.com. I would love to respond to it. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that power, my friend, is that it's the very name. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.